Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bell's here to cover all things Wisconsin athletics. And to start the show today, we are, of course, going to get into the Badgers' huge win at the Kohl Center against the Maryland Terrapins, a 56-54 thriller, back and forth throughout much of the game. Really exciting. Looked a little bleak at the end, but obviously Brad Davison had a pretty special couple seconds to force a turnover and then, of course, hit the game-winning shot. So we'll get into all of that game, but pretty exciting stuff as we get into it. And then after that, we will do our next position preview. We alluded to it on the last show that we were going to do offense and then defense. So we're going to talk a little bit and recap the season for the safety position. Obviously, Eric Burrell, Reggie Pearson, a few of those guys had really strong years. So we'll get into that in the back half of the show. Matt, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good. You know, two phenomenal games the last two nights with the national championship and then the Wisconsin win over Maryland. And, you know, a couple late nights, but some very good, exciting stuff happening around the world of college sports. And, you know, I've got a little cold, but at the same time, just to watch how those two games unfolded the way that they did were definitely exciting, more so the Badger game in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of them were a lot of fun to watch. The national championship, I don't know about you. I mean, both obviously you and I have both watched a lot of college football. Just the speed and the athleticism between those two teams, that football game looked completely different to what anything I've seen on the Wisconsin, out of the Wisconsin Badgers this season. That's not a knock on the Badgers by any means. Obviously, these two teams were tremendously talented, but man, when those teams really go off and square up like that, you know, throw punches back and forth and with the speed that they have, it was pretty crazy to watch.
Yeah, I think the Wisconsin Ohio State game in the Big Ten championship was the only thing that was even remotely close to that in my eyes in terms of competition level and where you could tell that just the speed of the game and the prowess of the players taking shape.
Yeah, and that it kind of shows, you know, that's what it takes to – it takes a lot of players like that collectively to put together a season like both of those two teams did, and obviously it only ended on a positive note for one of them, but that LSU team was pretty special, and it will probably go down as one of the best ever, but – let's get into the basketball game a little bit. Obviously, like we said, a 56-54 thriller. Big win in terms of Big Ten standings in this crazy conference. You know, after some up and down to begin the season, the Badgers have definitely started to find their footing in conference play. So just in the overall picture, how big is it to knock off another ranked team for Wisconsin?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. You know, they came out the gates a little cold, losing to some really formidable opponents, but nonetheless losing to teams that were kind of mid-major programs. I think they've kind of regained their footing. Micah Potter's emergence and getting into the lineup has been huge. He's been a godsend in a lot of ways. And just the way that the Badgers are able to kind of shift their identity to the defensive end has been huge. I mean, you look at holding Maryland, a team who averages about, I think it was like 73 points a game, to only 54, goes a long way because you narrow, extend the margin of error that you have if you're playing really good defense, because Wisconsin hasn't been an offensive juggernaut all season long. But on the defensive end, they are one of the better teams in the conference, if not the nation, in what they're doing.
Yeah, it was tremendous to watch. You know, we came into this game obviously a little bit worried about the Anthony Cowan's presence and how the Badgers would match up with a guy like that that's so explosive at the guard position. But for the most part, it seemed like the Badgers did a pretty solid job on preventing him from really taking over. Obviously, he played 38 minutes, only put in 16 points, and he's obviously a true guard where he's involved in the passing game and running the offense as well. He only had 3 assists. So from a defensive standpoint, I think they really did an excellent job on shutting down, him. And just, obviously, I was allowed to get his, but really did a good job on one of the top guards in the nation. And Jalen Smith was probably more of the presence on the court that really gave the Badgers fits, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Smith was dominant on the offensive rebounding side. He had 5 offensive boards, put in 18 points. I mean, he's a specimen at 6'10" and very athletic. You saw him hit outside on the 3-pointer, 2 of them. You know, I think that's Nate Reavers was kind of called upon to try to stop that pick and pop because he is so talented, one of the better big forwards in the league. But Anthony Collins just so quick. Wisconsin struggled at times, I think, to match his quickness. I think Demetric Trice did a fairly good job. I think that's partly why we saw the offensive struggles for him is because he was exhausting so much energy trying to keep up with the quickness of Anthony Cowan and what he brings to the table. But overall, just the Badgers just did a phenomenal job. I mean, if you can hold those two guys to 34 points, you're doing okay because the rest of the team wasn't doing much because the rest of other than Aaron Wiggins, who had 13, nobody else had more than 2 points for
Yeah.
Maryland. So I think it's pretty telling that they allowed those guys to be who they are, you know, who are stars in the Big Ten, but they didn't let the other guys really hurt them, and it went a long way in securing the victory.
Yeah, it was impressive for sure because you think of the Illinois game, which had, obviously they're different players, but they had that, forward guard combo that gave the Badgers a lot of fits, and you came into this game kind of thinking, okay, they've kind of got that same roster with, an explosive guard that can really score, and they've got some interior guys that can really, get in there and cause havocs on your interior defense. So I think you and I were both kind of on the same page that was a worrisome aspect of it coming in. But once again, this Badger team showed that, defensively they are incredibly sound. I mean, if you throw out that Illinois game, they've been keeping up opponents in that, high 40s, low 50s, scoring range for probably what the last six out of the last 7 games, right?
Yeah, no, they've been doing really good, and I think it's a big reason for the turnaround this season. You know, the shots still aren't falling. They just aren't. They shot 40%, which isn't terrible from the field. Shot 31% from 3-point, or 45% for the game, and 33% from the 3-point line. But neither of those are really numbers to run home and tell your mom about. I don't think the Badgers are satisfied with those numbers. They would like them to be a little bit higher, but in the Big Ten, if you play really good defense, those kind of numbers can win you a game.
Let's talk about the offense a little bit. Obviously, the points leader was Nate Reavers. Micah Potter seemed to score more than he did. He only had 14, but a lot of his buckets were timely. Same thing kind of goes for Brad Davison, obviously, with the big stretch down, or big shot down the stretch. But those three guys were pretty much, the bulk of the scoring for the Badgers. When you only score 56, 14, 14, and 17 is going to do most of it. But what did you make of those guys in terms of their offensive games last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think Micah Potter has been great offensively off the bench. He really can spark the team a lot of times. Nate Reavers is pretty consistent. He got his. He usually averages about 15 a game. He got 17. You know, after only getting 4 against Penn State, I think it was huge for him to come bounce back in a major way and kind of lift the team going against a really, really talented forward. I mean, Jalen Smith is going to be a guy who's going to be drafted likely the first round next season, late first round, I would imagine, just because of his length and the way he's improved his game. But Nate Reavers held his own, did a really nice job. Micah Potter did a good job offensively against him. You know, he shot 6 of 7, so he was just lightning in a bottle when he was on the court on the offensive end. You know, it was the defensive end that kind of struggled for him. But then Brad Davison, man, that last 3-pointer was just clutch as hell after I tweeted it out that it was like the worst offensive possession of all time, that they just kind of stalled and everybody looked around and didn't know who the hell was going to shoot the ball. And Davison ended up just chucking one up. But overall, for him to come back with the big defensive play and then drill that three, it was monumental. What did you see out of the offense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously those three guys are starting to appear that they're going to be probably the top three scoring threats, and you'll mix in Kobe King, oftentimes into that rotation. He's going to have certain matchups that he does well in, like you saw a couple games so far this season. But really, Brad Davison, like you mentioned, the shot was down the end was infuriating. I almost missed the turnover simply because I was so frustrated at that last offensive possession. But at the same time, you know, I think the offense is starting to find some rhythm for those three guys. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, finding if they can find a way to get Reavers and Potter on the floor at the same time. I think it would be beneficial, but obviously that's for Greg Gard to still kind of figure out. But overall, you know, the offense doesn't need to be profoundly spectacular if they're playing defense the way they have, and so far that's kind of what's won them games. And if you're going to have three guys that pour in, you know, 14 to 15 to 17 points, and you play, you know, great defense on the other end, that can win you a lot of basketball games. So, you know, nothing that's gonna, you know, light the score sheet on fire, but enough to, again, win games consistently, which they've started to do these last couple weeks. One guy I wanted to touch on a little bit before we dive into, we'll dive into more of the end of the game a little bit, but Dimitri Trice, another game left off the score sheet, 0 points for back-to-back games. What do you kind of see from him? What's kind of going on with, you know, Dimitri Trice, who early in his career looked like he was going to be, you know, a really profound player for the Badgers, and he's had his moments, but these last 4 or 5 games, it's really seemed to be a struggle for Dimitri Trice, and, you know, getting his points. And obviously he's played well on the defensive end at times, but it really seems like he's struggling right now.
Yeah, he's kind of just out of sorts. It seems his confidence isn't super high. You could tell he had a couple turnovers a turnover that it just kind of slipped out of his hand because he was trying to overthink it. He's a guy that is a rhythm shooter. He needs to kind of get that going. He's been cold. He's just been cold, you know, 0 for 5 in this one. Aleem Ford 0 for 3. So I think they both are kind of at the same trajectory. You're seeing more time for Trevor Anderson. You're seeing more time with Kobe King and Brad Davison on the court. You know, Kobe King kind of sliding almost to a two-guard role at times with Brevin Pritzel also on the court in lieu of Trice's struggles. And you also saw Tyler Wahl getting a lot more work instead of Aleem Ford. He actually has outplayed him minutes-wise in the last 2 games. So I think those two starters really just need to regain their confidence. It's hard because the Wisconsin defense, our team is predicated so heavily on the defense that I know that they're really struggling with that. But their outside shots are really where it's been a struggle. I can't remember Aleem Ford hitting a three the last couple of games. It just doesn't seem like it's going for him. And Dimitri Trice, you know, he's usually just so good at that, as that in that like mid-range in rhythm jump shot where he kind of just really elevates. But that's just not there right now. He's still elevating, but I don't know what it is. But they need to go ahead and try to fix that quickly, because you can't have two of your starters going 0 for in a really a back-to-back games in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think those guys are hopefully just in a cold stretch and can work their way back into contributing. And obviously, like we said, both of them play pretty good defense, and at times there can be some offensive struggles, and you've thankfully had guys around them that have stepped up. So if they can get those guys to kind of get their confidence back, it's only going to help, you know, come March, because other players, you know, like a Tyler Wahl and Trevor Anderson are starting to, you know, build some confidence and develop themselves. So it's, as long as you're winning games, it's a good problem to have. Obviously, down the stretch, yeah, it was tight, you know, back and forth. The Badgers got it out to a lead, but then Maryland, you know, stormed back and got that lead of their own. You were at the game, right? Did you go? Okay. You know, on TV, obviously we've seen it a little bit already, where Micah Potter and Nate Reavers have not been on the floor at the same time, and obviously, you know, Dan Dockich was a little struggling with why that was. But in those critical moments, you know, Badger Twitter was really starting to question why Micah Potter wasn't on the floor down the stretch. Is there anything that Greg Gard mentioned in the post? I don't know if you went to the post game stuff or not, or just what did you think was the reason for not him not seeing the court in the last few minutes?
Yeah, Greg Gard mentioned it in the post game. He was specifically asked about it, and he just talked about Micah Potter's defense and that how Jalen Smith did a lot of his damage on Potter. Nate Reavers did an outstanding job on defense. He did a little bit better job on hedging some screens, making sure to you know, block out better against him. Micah Potter really struggled with that. Nate Reavers was +8 on the game, whereas Micah Potter was -6. I know that the staff is very heavy into analytics when it comes down to the stretch. If you look at usually at the during a game, you can see the guys who are out on the court at the end are usually the guys who are in the have a really good plus minus at the time. So I know that that was a big reason for it. Micah Potter, for what he was offensively, has struggled in that game on defense against a really talented guy like Jalen Smith. I think they need to find some ways to sometimes get them on the court at the same time. I think it's also hard, though, on the defensive end because you have two guys who are like 6'10", 6'11", trying to go out and guard. Sometimes you get a forward who's a little bit quicker, or you might have them in when you do those switches, you have two big guys that might have to end up guarding, going against guards, and that's never what you want. And so I think that's kind of where Greg Gard is leaning towards. It also helps keep those guys fresh, but does that mean I don't wish that I saw it at least, see them give it a try to put both Potter and Reavers? Well, hell no. I'd love to see them see what they could do together because they both can be dynamic in the paint and outside when they're going. And, you know, we've seen Potter only elevate his game these past few games.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as you want to move past the beginning of the season with Micah Potter, they – and, of course, it's not his fault. It's an NCAA, you know, blunder, but they maybe would have been able to work on this a little bit, getting those guys on the floor in games, you know, that – were, you know, McNeese State early in the season, where you could maybe work on a couple of those games that you felt fairly comfortable that you were going to win coming into it, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But really, in Big Ten play, you can't afford, especially right now where, you know, Badgers, I wouldn't say are on the bubble by any means right now, but you've already got six losses. You can't, you know, afford to take too many chances. Greg Gard's got to go with what he knows and what he sees. And I think Badger fans as a whole, I know it's hard for them at times to trust Greg Gard, but you've got to trust his rotation because lately they've played a lot better.
Yeah, no, they're playing a lot better. And I think Potter's emergence is going to only continue. He's going to see his minutes go up. You know, he only played in 13 minutes in this game. But like I said, that was primarily because of the defensive end. At other times, Potter has been the bully down low and really ate up some rebounds and gotten some block shots. So it's going to be dependent. You saw last game, Potter was the guy in there down the stretch and not Reavers. So they're going to go with the hot hand, the guy who's having the more impact on both ends of the field, the court. And in this one, it just was Reavers. And, you know, I think it worked in the end, and that's all that really matters in basketball is, did you get the W?
Yeah, exactly. And the Badgers were able to do that, which was huge in terms of Big Ten standings. Obviously, Maryland was towards the top. You know, they'll drop back, and now the Badgers currently sit in third place in the Big Ten. Obviously, you know, a game behind Illinois and Michigan State, and that's going to be the Badgers' next opponent on the road. So that's going to be an important one. Just given, you know, Michigan State's had some struggles so far, and obviously Badgers, you know, their history in Wisconsin going to East Lansing has been a struggle at times. So how big of a game is that on Friday evening to try and really make this run as special as you could?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, we've been talking about this team the last couple weeks and about how this stretch was the one that I had kind of seen. I saw you got three ranked teams. You got Penn State, then you had Maryland, and then you have Michigan State, and they've already gone out and won two of those games. I had said the goal was getting two out of the three. They've already got two secured. If they could go and get that third game, it would be absolutely huge. They would go into a tie for first place in the Big Ten and have a chance to overtake Illinois if Illinois loses. So, I mean, it's definitely exciting. It's a huge game. It's going to be a tough game given the talent that's on Michigan State's side. But at the same time, they just lost to Purdue in just like a whip down fashion. So you never know how teams are going to react. It's in East Lansing, which is never an easy place to play, especially on a Friday night. But I think the Badgers, if they can stick to their defense, they'll keep it close and have a shot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, you mentioned it that Michigan State just got, you know, not only beat by Purdue, but got the doors blown off by Purdue. And that's definitely going to be something that Tom Izzo is going to look at and coach them up in preparation for this game because they didn't have one in between. So it's going to be a massive matchup for both teams to, you know, for Wisconsin to keep the momentum riding in the right direction and for Michigan State to maybe right the ship and get back from a really bad loss. So I can't wait to watch that one. Obviously, like we've already both touched on, East Lansing is not an easy place to play, especially for Wisconsin in the past. But it's going to be fun. Anything you want to preview from that game? I know it's Friday evening and we did focus more on the recap, but anything really stick out to you for how Michigan State and Wisconsin match up?
I think similar to the Maryland game, you've got a similar way that their team is kind of built. They've got two superior players in Xavier Tillman and Cassius Winston, both of which came back and spurred in the NBA draft. They could have left last year and been drafted fairly high. Xavier Tillman, 6'8" forward, really got inside out game. I think he's going to be a matchup that's going to be exciting to watch. In a way, I'm interested to see who they match up with him. I would anticipate that it's probably going to be a lean forward, although we might see a little bit of Reavers or Potter, depending upon if Michigan State goes tall or if they go small ball. And then Cassius Winston is, I mean, he was the preseason All Big Ten player of the year for a reason. Preseason All NCAA All American for a reason. He's averaging 18 plus points a game, and he's a dude. And Wisconsin's going to have to really stick in his pocket. Dimitric Trice is going to be once again going up against a really, really quick and talented guard. So I think this isn't the game for people to expect Dimitric Trice to come out and blow the doors off of it with another 31-point game like he had a few weeks ago. But if he has some solid defense against Cassius Winston, holds him under his season average, they'll have a shot in this game, in my eyes.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that's going to be a fun matchup to watch, and in kind of a stretch where Wisconsin's faced some really good guard play, and that's probably part of it too with Dimitric Trice's struggles, that he's probably exerting a lot of effort on that defensive end going against some high quality guys. So Cassius Winston will probably be the toughest test out of all of them, but it's a good one. And realistically, a month and a half ago, if you would have told me this Badger team would be, going to East Lansing in a battle to move them into a tie for first in the Big Ten, I think we both would have signed up for that instantly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's all I've got for basketball. Anything else you want to touch on before we transition over to some football talk?
I think the one thing is, I can't say it enough, just the heady play that Davison had on that inbound. He talked about it in the post game, how he kind of let Cowan get ahead of him a bit to bait the inbound pass to him, and then he was able to tap it. He tried to grab it but couldn't, and then just threw it off of the inbounder. Just tremendously smart play. I mean, he is one of the smarter basketball minds out there on the court. Greg Gard called him the heartbeat of the team in the post game. He's a guy that the stats don't always wow you. He's never gonna be the guy that I guess the shooting guard that a lot of fans wish the Badgers had. He's not gonna be Devin Harris. He's not gonna be Michael Finley in that regard. But man, he makes some special plays. And I think the last time I saw a play that was that smart, like the smarts of understanding the game to throw it off of a guy, was when Michael Flowers late in the game just threw it straight up in the air to try to kill time. And that those are the type of thoughtful moments that it's just like, wow, what an amazing play. And then for him to just drill that dagger of a three-pointer right after it was just, it was such a cool experience to be there for the game and to kind of see that. I've seen a lot of big basketball games, and for him to do that, that was not what I expected to happen after the Badgers had, like I said, probably the worst offensive possession of the season.
Oh yeah, I mean that was a disaster. That last shot wasn't even a halfway decent shot. It was did it even hit rim? Did that ball even touch a rim?
No, it was a what do you call it?
Brick
Shot
City.
clock violation. So
Oh,
it
okay.
was that's why it was inbounded on the bottom like it was. And it for the Badgers to make that play, they all were dialed into what they had to do, and for Davison to just make such a smart and charismatic play in that moment was vital, and it won them the game. And Mark Turgeon, you could see it in his face. He brought up that he was devastated at the end, and I don't blame him, because they had that game just about sewed up, and Brad Davison just stole it from them.
Yeah, he came back and essentially totally, like I tweeted out, totally redeemed himself because I was so frustrated with that last possession, and then he comes out, makes a defensive play, and wins you the game, and all is forgotten. So the Badgers ended up picking up a huge win in Big Ten play and setting them up for a huge contest with Michigan State on Friday night. All right, guys, that wraps up the basketball talk for us. We're going to kick it over to a couple quick ad reads, and then we're going to continue our recap, preview position, and we're going to go and talk about the safety position.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, guys. We've talked plenty of basketball for the episode. Obviously, a lot to talk about with that. But now we're going to get into some football. We try to keep it mixed up, and it's hard to not talk Wisconsin football because I know that's a huge chunk of our listeners' base, and everybody loves basketball. But football is definitely the main driver for us, and we wanted to continue our preview and not just do every position, you know, in a row. We wanted to switch it up a little bit. So today we're going to talk about and recap the safety position, which was one that coming into the season, there were some names that everyone kind of expected to play, and that kind of got shaken up early on with the loss of Scott Nelson in that first game. And I think a lot of people got worried about it because Nelson's first year was such a big presence. So, Matt, what did you make of the safety position for Wisconsin in 2019?
Yeah, I thought they played admirably well. I think Reggie Pearson had a tremendous year. He was up there in team tackles with 60 and was really just a force as a hitter coming down. He's kind of a strong safety type in the box at times, but also really good in coverage. I mean, they had him playing as the slot defender at the beginning of the year until Scott Nelson went down. And Eric Burrell, I can't say enough about the guy. He is every year he comes in as the guy who's just behind startership. And then he finds a way and he starts most of the games and he makes plays. He gets forced fumbles and interceptions. And, you know, so he had three interceptions, tops on the team. And then he had those two forced fumbles. That one that ended up with the Matt Henningsen touchdown was absolutely huge. He just had a great season. And then you have Colin Wilder, who is a really reliable backup and had some nice plays as well. So they have a really nice nucleus there. And then you bring back a guy like Scott Nelson. And I think they played great this year. And I think they're only going to be better next season.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think Eric Burrell's presence that, you know, you mentioned that he was kind of behind guys, going to be a package type guy, you know, get worked in there. And then Scott Nelson goes down and Eric Burrell stepped in. And I really think he was one of the more underrated players on this 2019 team to step in into a starting role when you maybe didn't expect it. I'm sure he wanted to. And not only, you know, step in and fill the role, but to perform the way he did was really remarkable. And I kind of just have to tip my cap to him. And for him coming back as a senior next year in a pretty deep group is going to be fun to watch because I thought he was tremendous all season long. And then obviously you touched on Reggie Pearson as well. His presence was really, you know, a hard hitter. I can't think of a guy, you know, at the college level that if he was running at me full bore and about to hit me, Reggie Pearson would scare the daylights out of me. And I can't imagine, you know, opposing offenses and receivers want to come over the middle against a guy like that and know you're going to take a shot. And his presence is pretty tremendous. And then, you know, Colin Wilder, you worked in there at times, and then you're going to get Scott Nelson back, who was tremendous his first season. So this group in 2020 has a lot of familiar names with good seasons, and I think they really have a chance to jump up and be a really great position for the Badgers next season.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary in general is going to be, I think, improved just because they return everybody, including Scott Nelson coming back. But, I mean, Eric Burrell was a consensus All-Big Ten honorable mention pick So, I mean, he definitely got some notice at what he did. And I think, you know, you look at what that secondary did, they were able to hold, on at least in defensive ranks, they were number 9 in third down conversions, number 6 in opponent completion percentage. The whole defense was 10th in points allowed, and they were number 12 in passing yards allowed. So a lot of that has to do with the defense. They're making a lot of calls back there for the secondary, and in a lot of ways, you know, mirror what the quarterback is doing on the other side of the field, in terms of the secondary, understanding where everybody should be. And I thought Reggie Pearson, Eric Burrell did an awesome job this season. And I think they're poised to make it really tough on the staff to figure out what's the best combination of guys on the field next year.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because you don't know. Obviously, you hope Scott Nelson returns to the same player that he was, but it was obviously a tough injury, and he's worked it back, and that left leg injury. I'm interested to see, you know, and again, you know, especially at a secondary position, you know, we talked about the quarterbacks early. There's only one quarterback on the field at a time. So to have multiple guys, you're not going to get worked in there. At the safety position, you can come up with different packages. And obviously Jim Leonard is one of the brightest minds, especially at that position, you know, him playing that for so many years. He's going to be able to hopefully work this group that is experienced and deep to get them in the right position to only make them better. So I know obviously Scott Nelson is battling back and should be, of course, in the conversation, but it's not something where he has to be 100% ready to go right away to make an impact. They can work him back in certain positions and in certain situations to set him up for as successful as a possible 2020 season.
Yeah, because, I mean, Scott Nelson, for as much as he did do well as a redshirt freshman, he also struggled at times with tackling. He struggled with injuries. He would miss a big chunk of time. So he hasn't really been healthy the past two seasons at Wisconsin fully. And I think if he's able to do that, it would go a long way because he is such a, like, at practices, he is probably the loudest person. I mean, I take that back. Chris Orr was by far the loudest dude of all time during practices. But if it wasn't Chris Orr, it was almost always Scott Nelson who was chirping. The dude was constantly in the ear of wide receivers, always excitable, running around excited with teammates, even when he wasn't out there. So I think his voice and leadership will be big. Eric Burrell's leadership is going to be big. And then you've got a young guy like Reggie Pearson, who's uber talented, really excitable. I think he's in for a really big year next year. I think they're going to use a lot more three safety sets. I think they're going to have to try to get their best personnel on the field because you are losing some linebackers. You got all these safety weapons that can come in and play. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Reggie Pearson is similar to Michael Caputo in that he's kind of a rover, can kind of play a hybrid linebacker while also being coverage. So I think they can find a way to get those guys all on the field because Scott Nelson brings so much leadership with his voice, and Eric Burrell as well with his leadership. But it's going to be a nice problem to have for Jim Leonard.
Yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. That's a good problem to have with those three guys. And I would expect to probably see that as well with just the presence that Reggie Pearson brings as both, you know, in pass coverage and as a guy that can, he's not afraid to get up and hit anyone. We've seen him really pop some guys all season long. So if you're finding a way to finagle and get your best 11 on the field, those three are going to be in the conversation because you, like you mentioned, the linebacker position, while it has some names, it's going to be missing maybe some athleticism. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jim Leonard dials up that group and really finds a way to work them all in. But I would expect a jump from, you know, I think probably all three of those guys. Obviously, it's tough to project where Scott Nelson's going to be coming back from an injury, but Reggie Pearson had a big jump in, you know, his redshirt freshman season. He did not play like a redshirt freshman. He played like a really experienced guy, and he'll, you know, jump up and I think have a tremendous season next season. And then Eric Burrell, I think you got to have high expectations just given the situation that he stepped into this year, now coming in, knowing that he's going to be on the field, you know, not worrying about, you know, maybe getting a starting spot, maybe working into some plays. He's going to be on there all the time. And it's going to be a fun group to watch for a team that's going to have some question marks. I don't think the safety position is going to be one of them.
Yeah, no. The only question is how are you going to use all these guys that you got, because you don't want to just waste them, and they'll definitely be able to keep the guys fresh. But I mean, they even got some young talent in the wings that's coming through. I thought John Torchio, when he came in during the Michigan game, played really well. You know, he spurned scholarship offers from Cal and others to walk on at Wisconsin, and I thought he did a really nice job with that interception and in that spot duty. He was also good on special teams. And then you got a guy like Titus Tolaire, who's probably not going to see the field until he's at least a sophomore, at least in the starting capacity at safety, because of the sheer fact that there's so many talented guys in front of him next year and everything. So they've got talent in the wings. It's pretty fairly telling that they didn't go out and get a safety this past class. So they obviously feel pretty good about it. But man, it's a good problem to have to be Jim Leonard, at least in the secondary next year.
Yeah. And the exciting part is, like we talked about already, Jim Leonard, you played that safety position. So if there's a guy that's going to get everything out of those three players and even Torchio and Colin Wilder behind him, it's going to be Jim Leonard. And, you know, a full off season working with five guys that saw the field. Obviously Torchio only saw a little bit, but to work with a group and see their jump to next season is going to be exciting. So again, you know, a position that you don't probably have to worry about is the safety position. And I'm really excited to see not only those four, but how they work with a cornerback position that really is kind of in the same boat where, you know, obviously we'll do a full position preview for them, but really that cornerback group is kind of the same thing where they're evolving and it pretty much everybody's going to be back to give Wisconsin a pretty strong secondary, which is something Badger teams of the past has struggled to find a consistent and solid secondary, you know, at both positions.
Yeah. And I think they have a nice nucleus right now. And I anticipate that next year they'll probably hard because they're going to lose some guys to graduation. But man, it the cupboard is not bare whatsoever going into next year. And I'm excited to see it because if you look like a guy like Madison Cone, who's listed as a safety, you saw him at spot duty as a nickel at times, but really you didn't see him nearly as much as what you saw as a redshirt freshman from him. He's a guy who has got some talent. He's undersized, so he's kind of limited to that nickel role because he's not like a sheer burner, but he has some really long wingspan. But I mean, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle when you've got a guy like Colin Wilder, who started for a season at Houston and then walked on to Wisconsin and then recently was put on scholarship. So I mean, you got guys in the wings and a lot of talent, but it's going to be fun to see what they do in the spring, because I think there will be some creative wrinkles that are put in place with this unit.
Yeah, this unit is going to be fun to watch, and the creative mind of Jim Leonard's, I think, going to dial up some fun stuff, some fun blitzes, exotic blitzes that should get Badgers fans really excited for a secondary that, you know, coming into this season was a little bit of a question mark. I don't think, you know, similar to how cornerback was last season, was a big question mark and not so much coming into this season. And I think you're going to be, you know, in for a treat watching these guys play. Anything else on the safety position? Otherwise, we'll wrap up another episode, another week of the podcast.
No, I think that hits the nail on the head. And I think we wrap that position up. And I think, you know, the Michigan State game is going to be a fun one to discuss, no matter which way that unfolds. So hopefully Wisconsin can go out and get a W, though, because that would go a long way in securing their chances for a top four finish in the Big Ten.
Yep, that's going to be the main goal. And obviously Friday night will be a lot of fun to watch. Going to East Lansing once again. What time does that one tip, do you know?
6 o'clock. So it's a 6 o'clock game on Friday. It's going to be a big game, and it's on FS1. I know FS1 has just been really crushing the basketball scene. Yeah. They've been doing a really good job of getting some good games on the network and putting it on TV for folks, because basketball is always just kind of all over the board with what channel it's on. It's not like your traditional, oh yeah, this game is going to be at 3:30 on CBS. You know, like you have to kind of do a little bit of looking through the weeds to find it, but that should be a good game and an exciting one.
Yeah, exciting one for a potential first place tie in the Big Ten Conference, which has been completely wacky, and in college basketball in general, it's just been an incredible season. So make sure to tune in to that on Friday evening. That wraps up another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe if you do not already. We'll be back with you guys next week to get into some other position previews and, of course, recap the Michigan State contest. Thank you guys for listening on Wisconsin. Thank you.